You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. Welcome into the show. I'm Charlie Arnold. Well, being that it's Monday, we do have some big news on our plate, that being the Final Four has been set. So we're looking forward to watching some of the best basketball of the year in the upcoming days. But also, let's be honest, while we all are focusing on the game, if you are inside the arenas, the halftime show sometimes is equally as impressive. It adds to the in-stadium, I guess, experience, right? And that's what a lot of people look forward to. That's why a lot of families like to attend the games. And really, when it comes to a performance, what's better than a man and his dog, especially when it's a dog that can play basketball? So everybody, let's get it going. I had the chance to talk to one of the coolest duos I ever have in my entire life. So let's get to the interview with Christian and Scooby. So with that being said, joining me now, we have the dynamic duo of Christian and Scooby. I am so excited to meet both of you, especially this little one in your arms.
Hi, Charlie. Thank you for having us. It's great to be on with you.
Okay, so before we get to anything, you just actually made me aware of something probably a lot of people aren't, and that Scooby is actually kind of like basketball's own version of the Olsen twins. Whereas, you know, we have Mary-Kate and Ashley, who both played Michelle on Full House. Scooby is actually two different dogs as well. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, so actually the routine Christian and Scooby started with our original Chihuahua when I was way younger, and his actual name was Scooby. And then the act kind of began. And obviously from there, we kind of took off. We did America's Got Talent. And so everyone obviously knew us as Christian and Scooby. And throughout the years, obviously, you know, the generations of Scoobies have continued. So Percy was next. And then he's performed. He's still performing. He's 11 now. And then this little guy is Milo, and he's the third generation of Scoobies. But the stage name is Scooby, so we don't confuse everybody. But sometimes when we're leaving arenas and people will see Percy and Milo with me, they'll be like, hey, there's two Scoobies. So,
oh my gosh.
It is what it is.
That's amazing. Okay, so how far back are we talking? Because I know that you burst onto the national scene in 2014 with America's Got Talent. You made it to the finals here in the United Yes. States, which is a tremendous accomplishment. But did it stem even further back than that?
So I come from a long line of circus performers on my mom's side of the family. I'm a fifth generation performer. So as a kid, I actually grew up on a show that's based in New York called the Big Apple Circus. And so I traveled with that circus as a kid. And then the saying always goes that people run away to join the circus. But at 17, I didn't actually run away, but I like almost ran away from the circus to go to college. So I went to school. I got my degree in broadcast journalism from Illinois State University.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, much respect for what you do as well. And then once that, my college, I got my degree, and then I was unsure if I was going to go into the journalism world or if I wanted to kind of try to keep performing. So that's when we went on America's Got Talent. And obviously we had a great run on that show. We started doing halftime performances. And as a kid, I've always been a passionate sports fan, basketball, football, baseball. And, you know, basketball has always been my favorite sport. And so I always joke around and say, I found a way to get myself onto a basketball court somehow, some way. And so once the halftime show started happening, and it was obviously the best of both worlds for me, not just being able to perform with my best friends, essentially, but also being able to be, you know, in NBA arenas. I'm the performer that they kind of have to kick out of the arena when my halftime show is done. Like, I'm like, wait, can I stay? Like, I want to watch this game. So, yeah. So the act, like I said, started with Scooby when I was about 13. But then really after college is kind of when it took off. And then shortly after, Percy took it over. And now Milo's, you know, kind of manning the spotlight.
Okay, so first of all, I have to imagine that there's a lot of people that want to keep you in the arenas. You know, you're probably not getting kicked out. I have to imagine there's also like NBA players and college basketball players who are so into your acts that they probably are like obsessed, right?
Yeah, there's definitely been some pretty cool interactions here and there. Obviously, like Boban is one of our big Boban. We always see him and he's always so sweet. He's like one of our favorites. He's always super cool. One time he carried Percy and like I'll have to send you that picture, but Boban being so big with the little Chihuahua was pretty hilarious. And so, we've had interactions with a lot of these guys there. And but throughout the years, I will say, like my first year doing halftime shows, I was kind of, in my dream scenario. I'm like, oh my God, I'm around all these guys that I watch on TV. It's so cool. But throughout the years, you also start to realize and respect that they're at their jobs and this is their profession. I was younger, obviously, too. I was like 20 or 21 when I started doing this. So in the beginning, I was starstruck a little bit. But then once you kind of realize, hey, these guys are at work. So you have that mutual respect. Kyle Lowry is a guy that, still to this day, I grew up a Toronto Raptors fan. So he's like big time
Up
for us.
there.
But yeah, like a few games ago, he was shooting around, getting ready to start the second half. And he was like, yo, yo. And I was like, he came up to me and said, what's up? And so for me, that's still like the little kid in me is still like, wow, that's so cool. But yeah, I mean, they don't actually kick me out,
Of
but
course, of course.
of
No,
course, yeah.
I was just mean. Like when I came across your page, because I caught wind of you on Instagram. I unfortunately haven't been had the opportunity to see you in person yet, but when I saw the act on social media, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to talk to this guy. Because first of all, the tricks that Percy and Milo, Scooby, we'll just go with Scooby. Scooby pulls off are insane. And I'm such a dog lover that I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. So Scooby is a Chihuahua, correct? Just straight
Correct. Yeah.
Chihuahua. Okay.
Chihuahua. Yeah, they've all been Chihuahua.
Listen, these are not normal dog tricks. To get my dog Zora to even sit and stay sometimes takes a lot of energy and effort. You have Scooby doing dunks. You have all of these different basketball tricks. I know you come from a circus family. I know that that's in your blood, being able to train. How does this work though? Do you do the training solely on your own?
Yeah, so actually, even the circus family part, it does have to do with it being a performer, but it kind of doesn't because no one in my family like trained animals or was animal trainers. And how it started was really random. Like I said, because we were traveling all the time, I really, as a kid, wanted a pet. And so Chihuahua just happened to be a small dog that we could travel with. So that's the only reason we got a Chihuahua. And then me, I was already kind of practicing. When you grow up in a circus family, you kind of start training like different things. Like I could juggle a little bit, I could wire walk a little bit. But then eventually I started doing handstands when I was 10. So we got the OG Scooby when I was 12. And then we'd bring him like to the practices to hang out here and there just because he was our pet. And one day I was laying on the floor watching TV on the ground and he sat on my back. And he used to always do this thing with his paws up and down to get food and treats. And my dad was eating dinner. And so my dad thought that was kind of funny. And he was like, tomorrow when we go to practice, like me to practice, he was like, why don't we try that trick that you're doing and we'll put him on your back and see if he still does it. So we're like, all right, like that'd be funny. And he did it. And so then we were like, wow, that's cool. What else can we try? And that's kind of how the act started. It wasn't like an intentional, like it's generations of animal training or anything. So then we're like, what else can we do? And so, obviously that evolved and became one thing, which led to another. And then we had like the basis of the act established. But throughout the years, like you mentioned, the dunking, which is Milo's addition to the act, things like that are some of my favorite things where, one of the, I guess, secrets of training them for me is just listening to them, watching them, observing. Like I, you know, they maybe can't speak, but they can communicate in their own ways. And so Milo, for example, he is crazy about like any kind of like plush ball or tennis ball, or even
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
if I'll be like, you want your ball? He'll be like, what? Like, so yeah. So
I
the
saw
ball
that
is like,
reaction. I saw that. That was instant.
yeah. So when he was a puppy, he would always play around. So I got him a set of like different sports balls to play with, like plush balls. And I was like, man, he loves this ball. How could I make this into a trick? Because ultimately, when we're out on the court or at a corporate event or performing anywhere, we want it to be so that they're out there playing as well. And so that was the way that Milo communicated. Like he was like, I like playing with this ball. So in my head, I was like, all right. So that's actually probably one of, if probably it's my favorite trick that I've ever taught him or any of the Scoobies because it just fits his personality so much. And so, throughout the years, like Milo does the dunking, Percy doesn't do that trick. And Percy does the walking on the basketball because he got curious about a basketball when I was at a gym just dribbling around. The original Scooby didn't do that trick. So throughout the years, our act has evolved. We've added things based on kind of what they like to do and what is fun for them. So That's kind of
how
how
many
it's worked out.
hours do you spend practicing these moves? Because I'm still shocked at their willingness and ability to do them at this point on command. I mean, it has to probably be a routine thing that you're constantly practicing.
The funny thing is that once they learn it, it's kind of not like, honestly, once they learn the routine, they kind of know what they're doing. I'm the one who has to like be at the gym and practice and stay in shape and watch what I eat and all that kind of stuff. Whereas them, like this, I mean, a true story, even with Milo, you know, soccer season's coming around and we do some soccer shows and I taught him how to score a goal. So he literally like would put a little soccer ball and he scores the goal. And I, you know, we've been doing basketball for the past 4 or 5 months. So we haven't even done that trick once. And so literally just yesterday, I brought out the little soccer net, put the ball down. And he's the younger one, so I'm like, he doesn't have like years of performing experience like that. But I was like, score the goal. And then he was like, he remembered and he did it. And I was
Oh.
like, all right, we don't even have to train it again. Like he's got it. Like he remembered. So they're a lot smarter than I think that people give them credit for.
Are Chihuahuas known to be really smart dogs?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Okay.
And I don't know because like I said, it started randomly with Scooby. And then obviously then when we were looking for the next Chihuahua, which was Percy, we just got the same breed and the same look because we wanted to keep it
Right, you wanted to have
consistent.
cohesion.
Yeah. So I don't think so, just because I haven't seen when I have seen whether it's been circus acts or, you know, any kind of like canine training, it's not Chihuahuas. So I actually don't think that they're meant like supposedly
Right.
super easy to train, but I find it with, I mean, just listening, communicating, I think it's pretty cool.
Oh, look at that
Yeah.
yawn. Look at that. That was impressive. I love that, Milo.
We
Okay,
woke him up
so
from a nap.
where do you, I know that when the original Scooby passed, how did you go about finding a replacement? Sounds like too much of an object, but
Yeah,
you know, your next
but
baby,
I understand.
your next little partner in crime. Is there
So
certain places that you have turned to as far as a breeder goes, or?
actually, it's been completely random. You know, Scooby was 17 when he passed, but at 12, he retired. So then he pretty much, at that point, he was retired from performing, joke around, say he was collecting his pension at that point. But when Scooby was around 10 is when we got Percy. And that only happened to be because I was still in school and my parents were actually in Mexico with my mom's family there. My mom's Mexican. And there was a family that had Chihuahuas and they didn't really want to keep all of them. And my parents like sent me a picture and they were like, hey, there's this really cute little Chihuahua. Should we get him if we're thinking about if you're thinking about continuing to perform, maybe he could be the one that replaces Scooby. So I was like, for sure. So they actually got so Scooby was from New York because we were in New York at the time. Percy is Mexican. And then with Milo, Percy was I think Percy was 7 or 8 years old, and we were here where we live in Las Vegas. And honestly, I think it was I was already starting to think about it. I was like, because we were working quite a bit, and I was like, I should get another Chihuahua to start so they could rotate shows and kind of ease off the workload, I guess, from Percy. And I looked on Craigslist and I literally was like, well, there's a Chihuahua. And I was like, let me go see him. And once you see the, you know, once you see the little puppies, it's kind of
Oh my
hard to turn
gosh.
away. So
Right, of
he was
course.
just literally, I met him at like a gas station just because of Craigslist. And then now he's kind of performing for thousands of people around the world. So it's pretty cool.
Okay, so as much as you have fans, right? And I'm sure a lot of them, I mean, I know you're a married man, but do you have, come on, let's be honest. Dogs are the ultimate chick magnet. Like,
Yes.
women love men with dogs. And there's like a weird thing about women loving men with little dogs. I mean, you have to probably get like a lot of fan mail or like women who are like, oh my gosh, you guys are amazing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely. I mean, straight up, that's how my wife fell in love with me, I think,
No.
because I had just gotten Milo, so he was a little puppy, and we were performing on a residency show here in Vegas, and I was coming into the theater, and she actually was at the host stand. She was the host at the restaurant that was connected to the theater, and she'd see me walking in all the time. And you know, she was like, "Oh my God, a little puppy!" And then I had already known her, like just been saying hello and stuff, and knew her name, but there was nothing more than "Hello, how are you? Good to see you." And then she was like, "Can I hold him for a little bit?" I was like, "Oh, for sure." And then I used that to flirt. I was like, "You want to see Milo again?" I was like, "How about lunch?" And
Milo,
it
you
worked.
dog, you. I see what you're up to. What a great little wingman. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, that's actually the greatest story ever. I wasn't expecting that, but good for you. Good for your wife. Smart woman. Okay. So Chick Magnet, lots of fans. PETA, on the other hand, have they ever tried to cancel you or reach out and say, this is inhumane, stop doing this?
No, they haven't. And you know, with how, I mean, whatever. I mean, how cancel culture is these days, it's just, they're going to reach at everything and you can't please everybody. And you know, I've always been very open about it. And if they wanted to say something, I'm like, all right, come on, come to a trip with us, come to a game with us, come watch us train. I'm full transparency with that stuff. I also am a big animal lover. I'm also would be a big, you know, person that would be against any kind of abuse mm-hmm. of animals, even when forget performing animals, just even animals that sometimes like owners will leave them in a cage at home when they're away from home. Like, I'm also against that stuff. So if that's actually what, like, say PETA stands for, I'm with them too. That's what I stand mm-hmm. for too. But sometimes when it comes to cancel culture, it just seems like it's like the popular thing to do and the hot topic thing. And I'm like, y'all don't really care about it. Cause if you cared about it, then come with us, come to a trip, come watch us train, like be all about it. Sometimes I think it's just about, you know, making a big deal out of whatever the next agenda is.
Yeah, people like to be sensitive. So, yes. And I have no doubt that if they were to follow you on a trip, they would be like, okay, I'll shut up now because
honestly, like so many of my friends and stuff, and sometimes they'll be like the comments on Instagram or something, and I'll see them when someone that we've worked with once or that we've crossed paths with once is on there passionately like defending us, you know, and they're like, are you serious? Like these dogs like have the best life. They get fed the best food, you know, like obviously because just being upfront, like my livelihood is almost dependent on them. So at this point, it's like, yeah, like we want them to have the best treatment, the best vet, you know, all the vaccines and shots that they need to have to be up to date. Like caring for them is number one priority. And when it comes to training, it's number one priority. Like we're not going to try to put them through something that they don't want to do.
Okay, so you've been through a lot together. America's Got Talent Finals 2014. You went on to win America's Got Talent in Germany.
Yes.
Which is amazing. I mean, so many other different moments you've had with Scooby, aka now Percy mm-hmm. and Milo as well.
Yeah.
What else do you have planned? I mean, I feel like you've reached so many milestones. Like, what else can you achieve?
So, that's the best part I would say about what we are doing, I guess, is that it's kind of, there's no limits. I'm, you know, like some of the people that say of their careers, I should say, I've never met these people, but they seem awesome. And people that their careers I idolize are people like Kevin Hart or The Rock, because I feel like they became really well known in their field and expanded. So like The Rock, I grew up when he was, you know, The Rock was the wrestler.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Kevin
well, you
Hart
know what? I used to work also for WWE. I mean, that was my one of my past lives. I was a backstage correspondent for WWE for almost 5 years.
What? Well, I have questions for you at some point.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I just feel like their career paths were, all right, they got really, really big and good at that. You know, The Rock became a huge wrestler and Kevin Hart was one of the biggest comedians. And from there, they expanded into movies. And now they're like mm-hmm. the highest grossing movie. I think The Rock's like the highest grossing movie actor, most successful. So in my point of view, I'm like, hey, right now we're doing what we're doing. We're growing. We're expanding, performing, getting great opportunities like this with you, having us on. Thank you. And you never know. And the next thing could be a commercial. Maybe bring back the Taco Bell dog. And that expands.
Yes.
And then we become the guy with the Taco Bell dog, and next thing you know, there's a movie and they need someone walking the dog in the background, and that's us. And next thing you know, they're like, hey, actually, you can kind of act. Like, you want this small role in a movie? And I'm like, let's do it. And, you know, that's kind of what I hope happens. I would love for, because obviously, as I get older, even though rightfully so, Scooby gets all the love, what I do is pretty difficult, and I can't be doing this stuff until like my like later years. So I'd love to be able to continue this career that we're doing now to expand into something that I can continue into the future. Or, you know, even honestly, like things that you do are super awesome. That's why I went to school for broadcast journalism. I love.
Yeah, I was going to say you have the broadcasting background, which is an important skill. I mean, to be able to communicate. And, you know, like you said, if you wanted to be in a commercial or act in a movie, I mean, those skills translate to so many different areas.
Yeah. So, you know, can't rush it. I'm not with the instant gratification world either. You know, you got to put the work in. So right now we're putting the work in and we'll see where it takes us. But definitely I do have big dreams that I hope, you know, those opportunities, you know, get to come our way.
And then your skills as well are very impressive. I mean, you almost, I was going to ask originally if you have a gymnastics background, because some of the stuff you do is very difficult. I mean, it's not just something you garner by lifting weights in the gym. I mean, some of the stuff you're doing is extreme balance and I mean, you know, just requires significant strength.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of it was just first off trying different things as a kid and, yeah, you know, kind of different athletic stuff. But I also, you know, I will say, I think part of it is being just agile and an athlete. And even though I never really played on a sports team, you know, I didn't, I was kind of tutored growing up because we were traveling. So the Big Apple Circus would have they had like a decked out big semi trailer that had like a little library in there and desks, and teachers that would teach young actors would come to teach us as well. So that's how my schooling was from like second grade till I graduated high school. And I had tutors in every city. When we were in Boston, I had a new tutor for 6 weeks there and so on and so forth. Wow. But because I never got to play sports, I was also the kid that always had like, you know, football in my hand, and I would be bugging the, you know, the 30-year-olds being like, can you throw me a pass? Like, that was me as a kid. So like, if I always, obviously the chances of me ever being pro were slim to none, but I was that kid that if I was, you know, growing up, I think in a regular high school would have definitely been trying to play some sport. And so that I feel, because I would play or go to the, I would go up to the parks outside and play basketball when it was snowing. My hands, I remember, would be freezing and wet, and I didn't care. Like, I love sports so much that all that, I think, helped my coordination and everything. And then obviously practicing hand balancing skills is a challenge within itself. And it takes a lot of patience, because sometimes, you know, or like when you're on the shows like America's Got Talent, sometimes the judges' critiques would be like, hey, this was very similar to what you did last week. But, you know, the counter to that is like, well, some of these tricks take years to learn. Like doing, yeah, just learning to do one handstand took like a year. Then you got to learn to do like a one arm handstand, which takes like another year. So it's not. So it's, I will say on the shows, it's a more of a challenge, in my opinion, for the variety acts than
you're
like a singer, because
new things to impress.
Right. Like an opera singer, when they come back the following week, they're not like, why didn't you rap this week? Last week you did opera.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
That's
their strength. And so with us, unfortunately, that's, you know, something we have to kind of, a hurdle that we have to go through.
Well, your life is truly fascinating. Growing up in the circus, I've never met anyone who's grown up in the circus. I had no idea that that's how, even how it took place. You would go to each city, stay for 6 weeks, have a tutor there. Yeah. I mean, what a cool life. And what you're doing now is awesome. And not to mention, being in Vegas is probably one of the best places you could be at this point, with all of the new sports teams that they have flocking there so quickly, yeah, and all of the different events. I mean, we just had Super Bowl there. They have the F1 contract for 10 years. There's just so many opportunities probably for you and Scooby to get your moments in the limelight.
Yeah, absolutely. So coming to Vegas was great. We've worked on residency shows while we've been here. And obviously there's a lot of events that go on. There's a lot of corporate events in Vegas, which I always find strange, because I'm like, yeah, wouldn't people just go there to a party? But hey, all right. So we do a lot of stuff around here as well. Obviously we have some stuff that we do overseas, and mostly what we do is sports venues throughout the US. But yeah, I mean, if ever, you know, within the sports teams that are coming into town, you know, obviously the Raiders just got here. We have the Aces. I'm sure expansion with the NBA is coming soon. So, yay. Or if you ever hear of an opening with a mic in my hand, I'm so down to get that career started too.
Well, you know, UFC is also in Las Vegas.
Say that again?
UFC.
Oh, yeah, UFC. Hey, it's getting real big. Like, I'm like, and honestly, in the beginning, I wasn't big into UFC, but now lately, a lot of my friends are, and it's kind of getting me onto it. We were watching the fight the other night, and it was like, we were into it. So I'm like, okay, I'm starting to get into this UFC. And
oh,
I met
good.
Dana White. Dana came to one of the residency shows, and he was super cool. So I'm a big fan. So,
oh, amazing. Okay. Well,
so
yeah,
he's seen us perform. He has seen us perform. Mm.
Well, I'm going to ask him about you, because he's actually my boss. I work for UFC as well.
Amazing.
So that's so cool. I'm so excited for you and Scooby and all of the accomplishments you have behind you, all that's to come ahead of you. Like I said, I got one glimpse of the duo on Instagram, and I was like, we need to book these people, or this man and his dog,
yeah,
right away, because like I said, I'm a massive dog lover, and it just literally is heart touching to see the things that you guys do together. And you can tell you have a very tight bond. with your little performers. So thank you so, so much for taking the time. And I can't wait to see how the rest of basketball season transpires for the, I guess, the three
playoffs, baby.
And yeah. then will you be doing playoff stuff?
Yeah, I'm sure we will. So playoffs are around the corner. We have some soccer stuff lined up over the summer that we're excited about just to try to keep expanding within the new sport. You know, we've done like NHL stuff before and MLB. So it's kind of cool. So you never
it's
know.
Endless.
It's endless.
The opportunities so the are
maybe
endless.
UFC
as
next.
As long as
we'll
there's
see.
People that like fun, amazing, interesting acts, you probably have a very long career ahead of you. So again, Christian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wait, no, this is Milo.
This is Milo.
Milo, thank you so much. You are so talented. Oh, my. Stop.
Good job.
Okay. That's all I need to see. Like I said, chick magnet works every time. Your wife is a very lucky woman, and I wish you nothing but all the success in the world.
Thank you so much. Honestly, thank you for having us, and I was delighted when you reached out. It really was super cool to hear from you. So,
well, maybe one time, you know, we can once we're all in the same place. We'll come to a show and see you in person.
Absolutely. He'll have to show off his tricks for you in person. That'd
love
be great.
Love it. Can't wait. Thank you awesome. So much.
Thank you.
Outkick the Morning will be right back after a short break. Stay tuned.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, another big thank you to Christian and Scooby. Looking forward to see what all the two of you can accomplish for the rest of the basketball season and, of course, beyond. Also, something else that we're looking forward to is Outkick's Tommy Lahren has a great special coming up this evening covering the year anniversary of the Covenant school shooting with a live airing at 7 p.m. Eastern on Outkick.com, as well as the replay, which will be going down on YouTube. And just a little warning, it is a bit disturbing. Let's take a look.
It's been a year since the deadly and tragic Covenant Christian School massacre right here in Nashville.
Watch out. Stop moving! Suspect down.
I'm sure it feels like yesterday for both of you and for your families.
I answered the phone call, and on the phone was my son, and he was crying out to me to come save him. They just sat there and they waited to be next. As she exited, she said she saw a little shoe in the hallway and they thought their friends had fainted. Is it possible to re-enter that building and not be re-traumatized? I have my child back, but there are holes that are missing from her. In the school, we kind of went to lengths to keep this manifesto, these journalings, whatever you want to call it, hidden in private. Please explain, you know, why.
I wanted to know. I want to read every single page.
Okay, everyone, so don't forget that will be happening this evening, 7 p.m. Eastern on Outkick.com. And on that note, everybody, that is going to do it for this episode of the show. Thank you so much, as always, for being here. Another new episode coming your way tomorrow, so make sure you don't miss it. In the meantime, follow me on social media at Charlie on TV. Have a wonderful Monday, and I will see you bright and early tomorrow.